Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back, no matter where you are in the world, to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm Kira Mack, your host, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we do jump into the trending and top stories doing the rounds here in Thailand, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and give us an old share on social media. And don't forget to hit that notification bell as well, so YouTube will let you know when we upload our next show. Now, if you like listening to us on a podcast player, there's a link down below in that description, and it will take you to a website which will show where all the available podcast players can be found. And finally, if you like the show, if you support the show, if you want to simply just buy me a coffee, you can do so by clicking on the link down below for buymeacoffee.com. And now that that's all done and dusted, let's jump into the top stories doing the rounds here in Thailand. And the Move Forward Party floats lifting booze ban on Buddhist holidays. Key figures in the election-winning Move Forward Party have voiced their opposition to the government's ban on alcohol sales on important Buddhist-related holidays, saying it limits freedom. MFT executive Amarat Chakpamakul used social media to express her opposition to the ban on Sunday, Vesak Day, which commemorates the Buddha birth, enlightenment and death. Ms. Amarat wrote that she disagreed with the ban on alcoholic drink sales on Buddhist-related holidays, which the country's constitution guarantees freedom of religion and people of other faiths beside Buddhists live in Thailand. Buddhists urge people to refrain from alcohol consumption to prevent recklessness and misbehavior. According to the ban, which exempts liquor sales at duty-free shops at airports, violators are liable to a jail term of up to 6 months and or a fine of up to 10,000 Thai baht. Ms. Amarat wrote that such a ban was rare in other countries and authorities should impose other measures to control alcohol consumption, such as enforcing drink driving laws. The country has followers of other religions and supports freedom of religion, belief, Ms. Amarat wrote. Bangkok Move Forward MP-elect Thanipop Lim Jitakon, who earlier proposed a law to end the monopoly in the alcohol drink business, wrote that basing the alcohol sales ban on a religious belief affects freedom of religion and occupation under the constitution. Meanwhile, Songkran Pakchok D, director of the Stop Drink Network, said the country had the alcohol sales ban in accordance with the World Health Organization's guidance that an alcohol sales ban on religious days were effective measures to control access to sources of alcohol beverages because they were not costly. The measure is intended to limit access to the sources of alcohol sales, not to infringe on the rights of drinkers because you can store your drinks at home, he said. No one complained about this matter. Although Buddhists are not everyone here in Thailand, they form 95% of the population. I believe the majority do not have any problem, Mr. Songkran said. Now, I've never really seen it as a complete issue here in Thailand. In fact, I've rarely ever heard anybody complain about it apart from tourists in Thailand. I think most Thai people accept it because, in fairness, you can get alcohol if you really look around hard enough. Most mom and pop shops are selling alcohol in these days. Though I do find it a little bit funny that in very tourist areas such as Phuket and Pattaya and other places like Samui that you have this alcohol ban when the majority of people there are actually tourists and in general not Thais. So I would look at it from this point of view that maybe there could be an exemption made for tourist areas. I think it's not fair, especially on, let's say, businesses that sell alcohol. Bars, restaurants, nightclubs, that they have to keep shutting down for all these Buddhist holidays. And let's not mention elections. Now, in Phuket last month, I think there was 2 to 3 Buddhist holidays where alcohol wasn't allowed. And we also then had an election. And here in Phuket, we had local elections where alcohol in certain areas were not allowed to be sold or purchased. So bars were closed for 5 to 6 days last month. And if you're paying, let's say, a lot of rent in a tourist area like Patong, being closed for 4 or 5 or 6 days is very, very costly to you because there are days that you're not making any money. But you still have to pay the rent because the landlord isn't giving you a deduction on your rent simply because you couldn't open for those days. So I do think something like that could be looked at. I don't think there's an overall appetite in the country to lift the complete rules and regulations. Most people, by the way, if they want to buy a drink and somewhere's not open, they just go and buy a load of drink the day before and they sit at home and drink it. So I don't really think it's having much of an effect on stopping people drinking. I think they had a similar such thing in Ireland back in the day as well. And we got rid of it because, well, even though we were completely a Catholic country, well, there was no need for it after a while and people moved on and people's beliefs moved on and we kind of moved with the times. And that's been said for a lot of countries around the world. So I do think it's something that definitely the government could look at. I mean, maybe not the whole country, but I certainly think there's an appetite for, let's say, more touristy areas to be allowed to continue to stay open. And then also this idea that you can't purchase alcohol between 2 and 5 p.m. every day. That's another one I just don't understand, just don't get. What's the reason behind it? If anybody can explain it to me down below in the comment section, I'd love to know. But for me, that's something, if you really want to focus on something, start on that one. Get rid of that one, because to me, that one makes no sense whatsoever. Anyway, moving along to the next story, and it's in relation to Tesla. Here in Thailand, Tesla are opening their first service center here in Thailand. Now, for people who are not 100% familiar, there is quite a few Teslas here in Thailand. I've seen them around. But the problem with Teslas here in Thailand, number one, there's no service center. And number two, very few charging points for Tesla here in Thailand. So automaker Tesla has announced the official opening of its first service center in July, along with plans to expand its supercharging stations throughout Thailand. According to Tesla, its first service center located at Ramkhamkien Road will feature a showroom, a service and delivery center, and an educational area where visitors can learn more about Tesla vehicles and technology. The company will introduce a maintenance service through its Tesla app that will allow clients to arrange service appointments directly from their smartphones or tablets. A special home charging package has also been introduced, which will provide convenient and suitable home charging installation for clients. Meanwhile, the automaker announced plans to expand its supercharging network to 7 stations across Thailand by the second quarter of this year. Currently, Tesla has 3 stations in Bangkok, located at Central World, Central Rama 2, and Central Rama 3. In order to expand its EV market in the country, Tesla will organize a roadshow at Icon Siam from June 5th to August 31st. The event will exhibit EV technologies and provide visitors with the opportunity to speak directly with Tesla experts. That's just kind of a little bit of a press release as well. So it's kind of a combination of a story and a press release. But it's interesting enough because I do know people who are interested in buying Teslas, but obviously the fear of the supercharging and lack of around Thailand is one issue putting them off. Now, moving on to another story. Russian tourists top Phuket 6 million visitor list. Phuket welcomed more than 6 million international tourists during the first 5 months of the year, with Russians the biggest group among them. According to Lerchai Wangtrakuk, the director of the Tourism Authority of Thailand Phuket office, the largest group of international arrivals to the resort island from January to last month were Russians, followed by Chinese, Indians, Australians, and Kazakhs. During the first 5 months of the year, the 6 million tourists injected at least 196 billion baht in circulated income. Now the rainy season, also known as the green season, is here. The number of international visitors will decline slightly. The TAT forecast that tourists from Europe, Scandinavia and the Americas will decline during the low season, but Phuket will see more tourists from short-haul destinations, including India, the Middle East and Taiwan, he said. He said there would be more flights from Taiwan to Vietnam to Phuket during the low season. In addition, Phuket has seen an increasing number of Kazakh tourists as airlines including Air Astana are offering direct flights from Almaty, the capital of Kazakhstan, to Phuket, he said. The number of Kazakh tourists increased, jumping from 12,000 in January to April last year to more than 66,000 during the same period this year. Mr. Lerchai said the TAT would join hands with hotels, tour agents and other in the hospitality sector in Phuket to hold roadshows in the Central Asian country to attract more tourists to the island in the future. This year, Phuket expects to welcome 12 million tourists, up from 9.2 million last year. The TAT Phuket office will come up with promotional campaigns to attract more tourists to the island, including Thais, Mr. Lerchai said. The TAT Phuket office and the private sector will hold a Pride Month event at the Central Phuket Shopping Mall on Sunday to promote the island as a friendly destination for the LGBTQ plus community. Phuket will also host several international water sports events during the low season, he added. Meanwhile, a 24-year-old Kazakh tourist drowned off Kata Beach on Friday. The man, identified as Artur Iskov, is said to have ignored the safety flags and swam in gusty seas. So trying to find the actual figures, and I do wonder when some of these articles are published in other media that nobody asks, well, can we have the actual number of people per nation arriving here in Phuket? Now, they just write some articles and there's no actual information gathered about how many they are. And finding this information actually is very, very, very tricky. The sports, tourism and sports ministry like to give out information, but it's all old information. In fact, the tourist and sports ministry's information only goes up to March, missing out on April and May. Now, that talk about, you know, transparency with the number of people coming to your country. Now, Phuket Immigration, on the other hand, only do information on a monthly basis, and they're currently stuck up until the end of April. They have nothing for May, even though they have released some figures. But let's look at April, because that's the figures that we have. As the article said, the top nationalities arriving here in Phuket were Russian, Chinese, and Indian. And currently in April, and we have no reason to believe that the trend is still not the same. For example, in April, we had 63,476 Russians arrive. We had 46,697 Chinese and 24,897 Indians arrive here in the island. So the overwhelming majority of people coming to the island in April is Russian. Now, there's no reason to believe that will not be the same in May. And the trend seems to be that the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 nationalities coming to Phuket over the last 5 months are, as they said, Russian, Chinese, Indian, followed by maybe some European. They said Kazakhs, but I would believe that if you were to look in the overall, it'll probably be Australian, probably British along there. So they are the top nations. Now, for people, because this is an issue I've seen with people and hotels and friends of mine who run hotels, friends of mine are in the hospitality industry, and they talk to me a lot about this. One of the big issues that they have is especially Europeans, let's say, and British people coming to Thailand, is the complaining when they get here that there's loads of Russians, that somehow Thailand is just for them and that Russians shouldn't be allowed. So let's set the record straight in relation to Russians coming to Thailand. Firstly, the Thai government sits on the fence in relation to the Russia-Ukraine war. They do not follow sanctions. They do not follow what other, let's say, United Nations countries have done. They have not declared really the war illegal. They've sat on the fence. They don't want to be on the side of one or the other, because for them it's better to sit on the fence, which means they can continue to welcome Russian customers to Thailand. And that's what they want to do, because that's the markets that they want coming to this country. Now, you may like it and you may not like it. That's entirely up to you. But that's what the Thai government currently want, and their focus is on that. Their focus at the end of the day is putting money into the pockets of Thais living on these resort islands and living in big cities like Bangkok, where tourism is a very important daily part of life. They're not really interested so much in the war and things like that, because really they don't care. Let's say it as it is. Now, a lot of Europeans do care, and they seem to get upset then when they come to Thailand to find a lot of Russians being here. Hotelier friends of mine have told me that they've got complaints in hotels that, oh, there's so many Russians staying at your hotel. Why? Why are there so many Russians? Do you not support the Ukrainians? Well, it's not up to a hotel. The hotel will simply follow what the government of Thailand's position is. If the government of Thailand's position is, we don't allow Russians to come here, well, the hotel will follow that. But if it's on the other hand, they say, well, we're open to all, then the hotel, of course, has to accept Russian guests. And friends of mine have sent me comment cards from hoteliers or guests that have literally wrote down, we would never come back here because you've so many Russians. For me, firstly, that's all wrong, right? Any people writing this stuff down, regardless of your like or dislike for the war between Ukraine and Russia at the moment and what has gone on, writing comments like that about families coming on vacation, right, in my opinion, is completely wrong. Now, you may disagree with me, you may agree with me. At the end of the day, they're human beings. And we all know that Russia is not a country where you can openly dissent and decide, well, I'm going to be anti-Vladimir Putin and I'm going to get out in the street and protest. We've all seen the pictures of what happens to people when you go out and protest in Russia. You disappear very quickly and your life does not become easy at all. But there is some people who support him. Of course there is. But at the end of the day, it's not up to hotels and hospitality businesses to go around deciding who they will, you know, let stay in their hotel, because it's just not possible. So my warning to people who come from Europe and travel here is very, very simple. Understand that the majority of people coming to Phuket Island, and the highest nationality is Russian. Now, if you don't like Russians and you have an issue with them, my suggestion to you is stay at home. Don't bother come to Thailand. Because if you do come, you are going to meet Russians. And if you have an issue with that, you know what? Nobody really wants to hear you moaning about it. Get on with life. Move on. That's what we have to. Because at the end of the day, that's life. And for expats who live here, I know we all have issues with different nationalities. We all have issues that we want to take care of. And I've heard and I've read in the comment section people leaving Phuket because there's too many Russians around. At the end of the day, we have to make our decisions that suit our life. And that is the way it is. I don't really have problems with Russians. I've met a couple that I really like. They're nice people, friendly. They have a good conversation. They have good world views. And a lot of them don't particularly like Vladimir Putin and don't agree with what's going on in the Ukraine. And if they had a way to change it, they would. But a lot of people just can't. And we have to understand that. Even in our own countries where we come from, there's lots of things that we'd love to change, right? But we know we don't have the power to do that. So what's the point? Nevertheless, for people coming here, understand that there is a diverse makeup of tourists coming to Phuket. And Phuket is not just for the European. Phuket is for everyone. It's for Asians, it's for Europeans, Americans, it's for Russians, it's for all. And no one group of people has any God-given right to believe that they should be the only people here on the island. And I do get the sense from some Europeans here that they believe that is should be the case. But I'd love to know what you guys think about it down below in that comment section. A little controversial maybe today, but I don't think it's right that people are being called out for coming to on holidays to a country and getting and finding that hoteliers are being abused because of it. And that's my main issue in it all as well. But I'd love to know what you think down below in the comment section. Now moving along to the next story of the day. Now, abandoning Move Forward is a last resort. And that's according to Phutai's Pumtam. Abandoning the Move Forward party to form a coalition with the parties in the current Prayut government should be the last resort for Phutai party. And that's according to one of its key leaders. For the time being, we should exhaust all the possibilities to form a coalition in accordance with the will of the people, said Phutai leader Pumtam Wichachai, referring to the ongoing attempt by eight political parties to form a post-election coalition under the leadership of the Move Forward party. Speaking to Thai PBS this week in an interview over the weekend, Pumtam did not dismiss the possibilities of senators rejecting Peter as prime minister, but they must come up with a good reason why they will not vote for him, he said. The eight parties forming a coalition with a comfortable majority in the House of Representatives are committed to nominating Move Forward leader Peter Limjanarat as prime minister. However, Peter needs support from the senators for his nomination. Many senators have openly voiced opposition to Peter's prime ministerial nomination for his party's Stand on Amending 112. Asked how the eight parties would proceed if Peter was rejected by the Senate, we need to hear from them the reason. Then all the eight parties will decide what to do next, he said. Pumtam did not dismiss the possibilities of Phutai turning its back on Move Forward and joining hands with parties in the current Prayut government in forming a coalition. That would be a very difficult thing to do. It would be the last resort, he said. Phutai commands the second largest number of seats after Move Forward following the May 14th general election. There has been persistent rumours that Phutai have entered into a secret deal with some of the parties in the current government. Pumtam insisted that the eight parties led by the Move Forward party are committed to forming a coalition together. We have the obligation to honour the will of the people expressed through the ballot box, he said. So my opinion on all this, if Phutai decide to abandon the Move Forward party, I would say this could be the end of the Phutai party. People's mentalities are changing here in the country. People's perception of these parties are changing. And I think that is evidenced by the results of the current general election. I think if Phutai decided to shack up with members of the current ruling party, I think, as I said, it would be the end of them as a party. I don't think no matter what they do, they would come back from it. And I think there would be protests. I think they would make Move Forward party even more popular. And the next general election could see a complete landslide for the Move Forward party. That's where I'm coming from in all this. I think it would be very wise for people to come together and based on the results of the current general election to find a way forward, as in Move Forward. And, just come together and do what the people of this country seemingly want things to happen and to be done. It confuses me why this has been so difficult. I understand that Move Forward party believe they should get all these key roles, but they will, I think, back down eventually. And hopefully we will see. I think the big stumbling block, of course, is going to be the nomination and the election of the prime ministerial candidate. And with these guys from the Senate who are all pro-junta, all pro-military, all pro-monarchy, it's going to be an issue. But let's see if some of them get common sense, because they don't need them all. Let's remember that. They need about 50 of them. So maybe it'll happen, maybe not. I'd love to know what you think, though, down below in that comment section. And that is it for today, folks. Thanks as always for tuning in. Your support, your comments, your thoughts down below in those comment section is always very, very, very welcome. And we'll be back tomorrow again. So take care, have a great day, and stay safe out there. But ultimately, with this story or anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments down below. Because yes, this is a news show, but it's also a conversation. Now keep that conversation going. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the video, and do all the good stuff that does help that YouTube algorithm. But ultimately, my name is Kieran Mack. You've been listening to the Thai Expat Daily Show, and we will see you next time.